of Jude, the verse which we're studying tonight, is a transitional verse. It's a transitional verse from the ancient sins of the Old Testament to the apostates of the modern day who have crept in unawares into the church of the living God. And let us not forget that Paul warned us of our own selves would deceivers come. People that look like us and they talk like us, but they're not us. Later on in the chapter, it says in verse 19, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And listen, this is not a message on the Holy Spirit, but listen to me. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. Now, I don't mean that you will walk around all day with this magical feeling of the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that when you do wrong, that the Holy Spirit who lives inside you says, that was wrong. When you are tempted, the Holy Spirit woos you toward the right. That's the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Many times He's that still, small voice. But listen, here, these apostates, they have not the Spirit. And they crept in unawares into the church of the living God. It starts, this verse here, verse number 8, if you'll notice in your outline, it starts with the word likewise. Likewise. Okay, we know that's an adverb. It connects back to the previous verses, and we'll see that in our text. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines it is in like manner also, moreover, to, or we would say just like. So when we look at verse number 8 and we read the sins of unbelieving Israel and we read the sins of the angels which kept not their first estate and we read the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, the writer here, Jude, is saying, just like those are the apostates of today. Just like those are the apostates of today. And so just like the apostates of the Old Testament, the apostate of today repeats and will continue to repeat the same old, sins of yesterday described in verses 5 through 7. Verses 5 through 7. Number one on our outline tonight, the first thing that apostates do, even our modern day apostate, is they, what I call here, defile design. They defile design, and I have there the body. Verse 8, it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They defile the flesh. This is easily seen in verse 7 with Sodom and Gomorrah. This is easily seen. Go back to verse 7 and look at it. Even talking about the apostates of Sodom and Gomorrah, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. And we studied on this last week and the previous week. While these cities were guilty of many sins, the most notorious of these was going after strange flesh. And we've talked about it and talked about it over the last 2 weeks. So it is today. So it is that people that are quote unquote gay are just coming out of the closet in mass. And I have here, and I'd like to take the time to read this statement, this quote that I took from St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Westminster, Maryland. You say, what about that going after strange flesh? Is it creeping into churches? Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, it is. In some cases, Brother Sammons, it doesn't have to creep in. The doors are wide open. The flag is outside hanging. You say, what do you mean? I went to Providence, Rhode Island, as Carrie and I were driving there. And we saw this beautiful old church on the hill. And there was the rainbow flag right under the American flag. And for those of you that don't know what that is, this is exactly what we're going to read. Let me read this entire quote to you. I know it's a long one. Here's St. Paul's United Church of Christ statement on being an open and affirming church. What does that mean? It says this, we are called to become an open and affirming congregation to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered persons. We believe that every person is a child of God. You can just read this and get the bad theology. The Bible says you are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. See, there are two kinds of children. Jesus said, I'm from above, you're from below. I'm from my father, you're from your father, the devil, he said to the Pharisees. So you keep reading this. We believe that, and by the way, there are some true things in this statement. We believe that every person is a child of God, made in God's image, I believe that. Loved by God, I believe that. And invested with dignity and worth, and that discipleship requires us to welcome others as Christ welcomes us. I believe that too. As an open and affirming congregation, we embrace diversity in our congregation and our community. We welcome, and here's where I get ought. We welcome into full membership and participation persons of every race, language, ethnicity, national origin, age, gender, sexual orientation, physical and mental ability, economic circumstance, marital status, and faith background. We invite all people to participate in all aspects of our lay and ordained ministries and to avail themselves of the sacraments and rites accorded to the members of the congregation. We believe such is the realm of God, to exclude persons from church and society because of sexual orientation. And by the way, that's what this whole paragraph is all about. It's not about race or gender or anything else. It's about sexual orientation. Or on any other basis, withers away the body of Christ. When one part of the body suffers, all others suffer with it. Instead, we vow to do all within our power to promote justice and healing through our commitment of being an open and affirming church. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just ask a question. What does a church like this do, this church, when a pedophile wants to join? You betcha they do. They have to. They're open and affirming. Can I say that this statement right here goes to the whole heart of the issue that apostates defile, they defile the flesh, they defile design. You see, your body is designed by God to perform certain functions. Praise the Lord for God's wonderful design. I remember hearing a preacher years ago, he was debating with an evolutionist. And he came to that evolutionist and he said, I have two questions for you. He said, I know you have many for me, but I'd like answers to my two questions first. He said, which evolved first, your circulatory system or your digestive system? Because if either one of those doesn't fully function by design, you've got a serious problem on your hands. You've got a problem here, or you've got a problem where digits start falling off, Pastor John. Because why? Because you better have circulation in every part of your body. You say, what do you mean? See, the body is designed. In apostates, they defile the design of God. On the bottom there, page 1, fornication. I know I didn't give you much room to write these. It was hard to fit all this in. Fornication, and particularly homosexuality, defile God's design. They defile God's design. And we have here number 1 on page 2 there. Fornication defiles God's design of marriage. Fornication defiles God's design of marriage. And we have the verse there, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. By the way, you can say amen. That's what God said. Amen. Listen, the physical intimacy between a husband and wife is a wonderful gift of God. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. See, fornication defiles God's design of marriage. Number 2 there, sodomy or homosexuality defiles God's design of the body. Would you go to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, God makes His point very clear in the first chapter of Romans regarding this defilement. Defilement of His designed creation. And if you don't think the body is designed, I've never met a man who had a baby. Why? Because the lady's body is designed by God to be able to bear children. That's a design of God. Okay? And praise the Lord for it. Look at chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Homosexuality defiles God's design of the body. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is, next two words, class, against nature. Listen, husband, wife produces children. That's nature. Amen? Every species, that's nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men leaving the, next word, class, natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. Now you listen to me. I have an aunt, I think I've shared this, that is a lesbian. Okay? I love her. I've talked to her. I'm not mad at her. I'm not breathing fire down her. I want to win her to the Lord. And we need a kind spirit, amen. But we also need a firm stand on, it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what Reverend Ratzifratz thinks, or Dr. Hosenose, or the St. Paul's Community Church here. It matters what the Word of God says. This is what matters. And it says here that the apostates, they defile design. I have a quote here from Max Koder. His book has been a tremendous help in this study for me. Those who study God's Word know that apostates will ultimately come to fleshly sin if they have not already. A turning away from the truth of God's Word produces evil results, not only in the spirit and soul, but in the body as well. And there's a great reference for you to look up there, Galatians 5, 19 through 20. The works of the flesh are manifest. And they are these. And he goes down through that whole laundry list there. So apostates, same old sins of old. They defile design, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Number two, they despise dominion. Go back to Jude. Look at verse 8. It says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. And this is easily seen on your outline here in verse 6, with the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Okay? They despise dominion. The apostate refuses to place himself under anyone's authority. And isn't that the cry of our day? Question authority, the bumper sticker says. It's all about rising up against established authority. And by the way, listen, we live in a country that allows you the privilege to protest. We talked about that on Memorial Day. And you know who guarantees you that? The veteran. The veteran. They have the privilege to protest. But here, this idea of the apostates, they refuse to place themselves under authority. They choose not to submit themselves to the authority of, we have four things here. Go to Romans 1:21. Back to Romans chapter 1. The first thing they refuse to submit themselves to the authority of, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, is God. They refuse to submit themselves to the authority of God. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the first thing that apostates refuse to put themselves under the authority of is the authority of God. They will one day. We'll talk about that a little bit later. The second thing that they refuse to submit themselves to, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Familiar verses. Those that study your Bible, particularly on that word Antichrist, chapter 2, verse 22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So not only the authority of God, but the authority of the Son of God. If you go over just a little bit there to 2 John verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." In Jude, verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." See, apostates, they don't care what the Bible says about the Son of God. They've already not allowed God place in their life. They refuse to submit to His authority. And God, in His wonderful long-suffering, allows men to do that. Doesn't that just floor you? That God would allow men to choose. And that men would be allowed, under God's authority, to rebel against Him. He allows that. He's a wonderful God. He lets us choose. Not only God and the Son of God, but if you go to Psalm chapter 50, verse 17, you'll see something else that apostates refuse to put themselves under the authority of. Psalm chapter number 50, verse 17. And I'm just going to read it when I get there. And if you get there before me, praise the Lord. It says in verse 17, "Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee." Something, of course, that an apostate will never submit themselves to is the Word of God. The Word of God. Something else back in Jude, verse number 3. It says there that, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Something else that apostates will not submit to are the doctrines of God. Listen, we believe that this Bible was verbally inspired by God. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Apostates mock that. They mock that. We believe that Jesus Christ physically, bodily, rose from the dead and is coming again. Apostates mock that. Let me read you, I have them on here, 3 apostate quotes about the blood of Christ, amen, that we believe in. Is there anything more precious to a true Christian than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You read these quotes with me. Here's the most famous apostate of the 20th century was a man named Harry Emerson Fosdick. I mean, just the you read his stuff and it'll absolutely make your blood boil how he hated the Word of God. The doctrines of God. "The blood of Christ," this is what his quote, "was carried over from primitive concepts. Mental patterns are too stubbornly persistent to be so easily cast off, and even yet semi-magical ideas concerning the potency of blood are woven into some Christian hymns, sermons, prayers. Substitutionary atonement," reading the next quote, came a long way down in history in many a penal system, but now it is a pre-civilized barbarity." Speaking of the atonement of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. "No secular court would tolerate the idea for a moment. Only in certain belated theologies is it retained as an explanation of our Lord's death." Listen to me. Please, I don't say this often. There's just absolutely no doubt in my mind that Harry Emerson Fosdick has been frying in hell for 40 years. Because he denies everything that the Bible tells us. And this next quote by Julie Hopkins about the atonement of Jesus Christ: "It is morally abhorrent to claim that God the Father demanded the self-sacrifice of His only Son to balance the scales of justice. A God who punished through pain, despair, and violent death is not a God of love, but a sadist and a despot." You see, man, I'll tell you what, you read things like that, and you just know that apostasy is ripe real and rank in our days. They despise dominion. The last thing that apostates do, and we'll close. I actually got through a whole lesson tonight. Amen. Number three, they deride dignities. They deride dignities. And this can easily be seen in verse number 5 with unbelieving Israel. Okay, we know the story there of unbelieving Israel. On your outline, over and over on their wilderness journeys, they spoke evil and complained about their leader, Moses, who was God's man. And God was so good to Moses to say, hey, they're not complaining at you. They're complaining at me. See, apostates, they deride dignities. They speak evil of those that are in authority in their life. The Greek word, and you'll recognize it right away, we have it here, is blasphemeo, where you get the word blasphemy. It's also used in verse 9, if you look down at verse 9, where that Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, blasphema. And in verse 10, it said, but these speak evil, blasphemeo. And it means, here we have in the definition here, to vilify, especially to speak impiously, blaspheme, defame, rail on, revile, or speak evil. By the way, sidebar here, and I'll finish up. Listen, let's let not our tongues be used for evil speaking of a brother. I don't care what they did. Listen, the advice that mom gave is good advice. If you can't say something nice, be quiet. Because you know what the Bible says? We're going to give an account for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. Every idle word. So we better be careful about that. And again, I'm not saying you're apostate if you have spoken evil against an authority. These are characteristics of apostates, but isn't it amazing how these little sins can creep into even good Christians' lives? On our outline here, apostates hate and rebel against, but they also speak evil of authority. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, going in through verse 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And what do they say? Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. Let's get rid of this authority. Well, what do they have to do with us anyway? However, one day they must place themselves under the lordship of Christ. Now I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll close there. Philippians chapter number 2. However, one day they must place themselves under the lordship of Christ. God is merciful today, but His mercy will have an end day for those who rebel against Him and those who this side of eternity choose not to bow the knee will bow at the great white throne judgment. That's where I believe this takes place. Verse number 8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Take that, Mr. Harry Emerson Fosdick. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day the apostates will be forced to bow. By the way, isn't it so wonderful that God gives us the choice to bow now in His wonderful presence? To be guilty, to be deserving of hell, and yet the God of the universe to say, I'll swap you. My cross, you can have a crown. That's our God. That's our God. Father, bless now as we have a brief time of invitation. Lord, you are wonderful. You're lovely. We thank you for all that you give to us. Page 184. Would you stand with me? Page 184. Sing a couple verses of this beautiful beautiful hymn. You say, Pastor, how can you have an invitation after you've spoken about apostasy? I'll tell you what, Brother Brian, you can have an invitation because if you're saved, you'll never apostatize. You can't be one. He gives you this Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's sing it out. 184, if you'd like to come, you come.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinner to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. Oh,
think about the last verse as you sing it out.
Oh, when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen. And all God's people said, he is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Well, listen, I hope you have a great week. Amen. Serve the Lord. Grab some tracks. We've got a few new tracks out there. And, man, pass them out. We had, I'm going to share it on Sunday too, but we had somebody come Sunday morning as a direct result. It said on the visitor's card, I got it. It said, why did you come to church today? Or whatever our guest card says there. Who invited you? And it said, two young men came to my door yesterday and invited me to come to church. And I came today. I tell you what, I like that, Brother Boston. Amen. I like that. We were out and seemed kind of dry, guys. Amen. Not too many people home, and the ones that were didn't really care that we were on their front porch. Amen. That happens, but boy, isn't it wonderful when God brings somebody in. I've got that address, going to follow up with that man, see if we can get him saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Blanke, would you close us in a word of prayer tonight, sir?